I came across something this morning in my studies that my mom wrote. She ain't going to write me anything else. So I'm going to read it to you because it fits right in with what we're going to talk about this morning. In Matthew 6:33, she wrote to me, this is on my 70th birthday, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Then she wrote from Luke 11:9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And then she wrote Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then she gave me some words of advice. "Whatever you do in this life, do it right and to the best of your ability as unto the Lord, because he's always with you. In addition to family and close friends, there is someone watching each one of us. Some person who is noticing us and how we handle situations in our lives. Maybe they consider you as a mentor or as an example to follow, or a worthy leader, a trusted counselor or guide, a tutor or a coach. Walk so that you'll leave a good pathway to follow." And she concluded, "Never stop learning and growing in the Lord. Remember those you look up to or admired who made a difference in your life." And then she wrote from Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And one more thing, a scripture, Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And she finished with, "None of us are perfect. We need all the help we can get." Well, I think my mom lived like that, and that was her testimony. And thank you for getting to know her a little bit. Now, in our studies on Luke, the man, we know that he wrote the Gospel according to Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. The two books puts together a chronology of about the first 65 years in the life of the Christians, from the time before the birth of John the Baptist until the time the Apostle Paul had been held prisoner 2 years. I want you to turn to Acts 3. I think we'll read the first 11 verses to start with this morning. Hopefully you're familiar with this portion. And we talked a little bit about this last week, but we got to connect each week together a little bit. So let's read the first 11 verses in Acts 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour," about 3 in the afternoon as we count time. "And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful, "to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him," in other words, he was intently looking at him, "with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Well, he was going to receive something of them, but in his wildest dreams, he could have never imagined what he was about to receive. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he, Peter, took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, the lame man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And he wasn't about to let Peter or John out of his sight. Okay. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He wasn't being quiet about it. He didn't care who heard him. Look at me, I can leap and walk and praise the Lord. You know. And so he attracted a crowd. We'll find out here later, there's about 4,000 people or more. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, notice that, he held them, he wasn't going to let them go. All the people ran together unto them and to the porch that is called Solomon's, that's Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. Now, back to Acts 3:6, and we'll get back to some thoughts here. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And when we began looking at this scripture last week, we ran out of time. But my mind went back to the night of the Last Supper. And Jesus had his 11 apostles with him at that time. Judas had betrayed him. And he told them some things in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, three chapters. And here's something Jesus told them that night. In John 14, 13, he says this. Jesus, these are red letter words in your Bible. Jesus is speaking, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," in Jesus' name, in other words, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15, verse 16. Jesus, still a little later, speaking to him, said this, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And then in John 16, 23 and 24, Jesus said to them a little later on that same night, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto," for now, in other words, "ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And then in John 14, go back to John 14, 26. And he's telling them about the Holy Ghost here. And one of the primary functions of the Holy Ghost, Jesus is telling them about here, is it'll help your memory, okay? Okay. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and note this, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, back in Acts 3:6, and I'll read again this scripture Mom gave me in Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. How many times, we read here this morning, did Jesus tell him to ask in my name? So, Peter, he's full of the Holy Ghost now here in Acts chapter 3. In verse 6, Peter had said to this lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He was asking the Lord in the name of Jesus to heal this man, wasn't he? And in Acts 3:6, it was the Holy Ghost that prompted Peter to remember all of this. I mean, we sometimes think, well, Peter was a little slow. Well, I look in the mirror and I think, yeah, me too, I'm a little slow. So no wonder he had to tell him so many times to ask, right? Yeah. And so another thing that came to my mind as I was reading this, if you go back to Acts 1:8, and these were the final words Jesus said just before his ascension, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What did that mean? What did it mean? Ye shall receive power. What kind of power? Power to go run a marathon faster than anybody else? What's he talking about? It's something for your hearts. For your well-being. It's a power that you don't have. It's from above. It's spiritual power. What are you asking for when you ask for help? You ask for help because you don't have it, right? Okay, so we all know that. So they had no idea, as we wouldn't either, and we still don't, that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's the depth of all that? What does that mean? Rocky, I see you back there, and you're a minister to those at the American Legion. The Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost. He gives you the power to lead these people to the Lord, to help them with their trials and their problems, and to preach a sermon when someone passes away, to lead the people to the Lord. It's the Holy Ghost that gives you that power. That's the kind of power we need, you know. I told Brother Hill when he asked me, how many years ago was that now? 35 years ago, when to be a Sunday school, the adult Sunday school teacher? Oh, I can't do that. And Brother Hill says, no, you know, you can't. And I can't preach either. And I wasn't too swift. I said, come on, Brother Hill, you're one of the best preachers around. No, I can't do it. If the Lord doesn't help me, the Holy Ghost doesn't help me, I'm wasting my time. And you'll be wasting your time too unless you put it on the Lord. And I says, well, that's kind of what he's been doing for me. I says, even though I do not want to be the adult Sunday school teacher, I know he wants me to do that. That's why I've been here. Yeah, that's why Scott's been teaching his class too for the same amount of time, because Brother Hill asked him the same thing. And we didn't say, well, we probably did say, yeah, we can't do that, but the Holy Ghost will enable us to, because you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what a blessing Scott's class has been to my life. And what a blessing Pastor O'Dorcio has been to my life, just like Brother Hill before him. And, you know, I appreciate all the lessons the Lord's given me these last 35 years plus, you know, because I've learned more than I can tell you about. And I wanted to learn anyway. So you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. That's far-reaching statement. And then, poof, he's gone. You know, got taken up, carried away into heaven. And so Peter and John and all the apostles, they heard him say this. The 120 heard him say that. They had no idea the far-reaching meaning of these words. But ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, part of the power that they received when the Holy Ghost came upon them on the day of Pentecost was recalling what Jesus had already told them of how, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. They'd already seen him do how many years worth of miracles? 3.5 or so? I mean, we'll talk about a little more of that. And here in Acts 3:6, we find the Holy Ghost encouraging Peter to do just that. Come on, Peter, what did he tell you to do? Ask anything in my name and I will do it. So Peter, full of the power of the Holy Ghost, and he knew it wasn't him that was going to be doing it, and with the boldness that comes with the power of the Holy Ghost that Peter had, I mean, Peter had some boldness of his own, but he got away from Peter and let the Holy Ghost take over. He says to this lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He was asking in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In case you wondered where all that came from, we just explained it, okay? And so what happened next, we read it a little earlier, it's found in Acts 3:7-8. And he, that is Peter, took him, the lame man, by the right hand, and there was no such thing as a wrong hand here. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, you know what that means, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. As I read this, I'm thinking, I wonder if he'd ever even been into the temple before. They'd always laid him out there at the gate. You know, he's getting to go farther than he ever has been before, perhaps. Oh, what power is found in the name of Jesus. How do you get saved? Yeah, and it's in the name of Jesus, isn't it? Okay. One thing that should be noted in passing here is that there are spiritual gifts given by the Holy Ghost, and the Apostle Paul expounds upon that to us in 1 Corinthians 12, chapters 12, chapters 13, and chapters 14. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12:9 and in 1 Corinthians 12:30, about gifts of healing. We find that this gift of healing was one of those gifts of the Holy Ghost that Peter was given when he was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. This was part of the power that ye shall receive after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you that Jesus told him about in Acts 1:8, but he didn't sit there and explain every little jot and tittle for the next 30 years what's going to happen to him. It's just a statement of fact. Jesus kept it simple. Well, that's part of that power, was there was a gift of healing involved with the Holy Ghost, and Peter had it here. And these gifts of healing are often manifest in different ways. We talked about this a little bit last night at dinner. Michael Roush and Gloria came over to our house after the service yesterday, and I mentioned some of this, and I said I'll be talking about this tomorrow. The gifts of healing are often manifest in different ways. In other words, the Lord doesn't necessarily perform these healing miracles the same way every time. There is no cookie cutter stamp that he uses to do things. He don't have to. He made all things. He created all things. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it, okay? In Matthew 20, 29 through 34, and what I'm going to point out here is that the Lord doesn't necessarily perform these healing miracles the same way every time, okay? People, they get to praying and the Lord do this and do this and do this and do this. That's asking, but you're telling the Lord. You should ask him, not tell him, okay? Okay. Matthew 20, 34, and we read that Jesus touched their eyes. There are two blind men in Matthew 29 through 34 who asked Jesus that their eyes might be opened. They were blind. And we read in Matthew 20, 34 that Jesus touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight. Okay, that's one instance of a blind man, two blind men being healed. Go to Mark 10. In Mark 10, there's another one for you to read. Verse 46 through 52, you find the story of blind Bartimaeus, who asked Jesus that he might receive his sight. And in Mark 10, 52, we read that Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." That was as simple as it was. It was a little different than what these other ones we read about. Here, Jesus didn't touch Bartimaeus because Jesus doesn't necessarily perform these healing miracles the same way twice. He doesn't have to. Okay? In John chapter 9, you can turn there and look at this. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. There we find another man that was blind from his birth. And in this example of healing, we find Jesus healing the blind man like this. In verses 6 and 7, Jesus spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which by interpretation is sent. And he went therefore and washed and came seeing. That's a weird way of getting healed, isn't it? We would have said, "What are you doing, Lord? Hey, look, I get tired of doing the same thing the same way every time." He had a little bit of a sense of humor, didn't he? Okay. So, again, what we find is that Jesus healing blind men's eyes, and there was no cookie-cut pattern as to how he was going to perform the same miracle. Like he said, he didn't have to do that. And Jesus seems to enjoy performing the same miracle in different fashions. Okay, why is that? Well, Christ Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He's the Alpha and Omega and everything in between. He's the beginning and the ending and everything in between. And he's the first and the last and everything in between. And we know that Jesus himself was led by the Holy Ghost when as a man he was ministering here on earth and performing these healing miracles. So Peter in Acts 3:7 taking the lame man by the right hand and lifting him up, the Lord healed this lame man. And then later in Acts 5, 15, and 16, we'll find out how many were healed by just the shadow of Peter falling over the sick. They were healed. Wow. That's quite a deal. Remember when Jesus, the lady had the issue of blood and just touched the hem of his garment and it was healed? Jesus said, "Who touched me?" They looked at him like, "You're in a crowd of people, Jesus. Everybody touched you that could." No, somebody touched me. Some individual touched me. They were wanting healed and they got healed. Ask and you shall receive. Okay? You don't need to tell. It's not tell Jesus and what he needs to do and he'll do it. It's ask in Jesus' name and you shall receive. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, why don't you turn there? Because it kind of answers and explains everything that we've already said here this morning. But it also, and this is a familiar scripture, but it'll reinforce, if you're looking at it, what we said here, that the gifts of healing are manifest in different ways. And this is the reason why Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." That's probably a good thing. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If you think you're going to figure out the Lord and what he's going to do next, you are not on the right page. Okay? Let's go back to our text in Acts 3, 7. We'll read this again. We'll read through 11 again. Acts 3, 7. "And he," that is Peter, "took him," the lame man, "by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms for the at the gate, the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." That's Solomon's porch. So in verse 11 here, we find another Lukeism. A Lukeism is a unique statement made by Luke. Okay, there's a lot of them. And I've kind of got tired of keeping track of how many different unique statements Luke makes. But here we find Luke, a unique statement is one that's probably used once or only by Luke. Luke uses the Greek word ekthambos. It's number 1569 in the Strong's Greek Concordance to describe the greatly wondering that was taking place as all were observing this lame man walking and leaping and praising God. And again, this lame man wasn't being quiet about it, okay? Ekthambos means to be amazed, to be quite astonished, to wonder or marvel greatly. We've seen this guy for 40 years sitting here at this gate. That's what it boils down to. And now he's leaping and walking and praising God. How did that happen? Right? It's the same guy, right? They didn't have a double out there. So this exceeding astonishment prompted Peter, by the power of the Holy Ghost, to instantly preach his second sermon. But it was a Holy Ghost-inspired sermon. Peter said, hang on a second, I got a bunch of notes like Ty does every Sunday. He didn't have that. He didn't need that, okay? You can preach a sermon just by being here. That was a testimony of my mother. She was a testimony by just sitting back there where my sister-in-law Gloria is sitting this morning. She preached a lot of sermons to a lot of you, I'm finding out as I read your cards and your letters. What a good day that was yesterday. This healing of the lame man attracted quite a large crowd. A crowd of temple goers, that's where they were. And they were greatly wondering how this lame man was now walking and leaping and praising God. So in verse 12, when we'll read the sermon through 26, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, because they must have had some questions that he heard them ask, which were, how's this guy? We know this guy. Wait a second, how's he standing here? He's leaping and praising God. How? What? Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Now, you think that's Peter saying that, or is that the Holy Ghost through Peter saying that? Yes. Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though we, by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk? Note this. Here's Peter, right quickly establishing what happened here. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, they knew who that was. The God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye, go look in the mirror, you were there, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. Wasn't that long ago that happened, when Jesus was crucified before this, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just. Notice all these terms he's using to describe Jesus, these different words. And desired a murderer be granted unto you, and killed the prince alive, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Just like Jesus told them they would be. You're going to be witnesses, okay, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It was by the faith of Jesus that this man was made whole. And now, verse 17, now, brethren, I want you to know that through ignorance ye did it, as it also your rulers, verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. He's talking about Jesus, okay? And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. You guys know the Old Testament scriptures. Your temple goers was read every Sabbath day in the synagogues. You know these things. Ye are, verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. So these are all Israelites he's talking to, all children of Israel, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now that's the end of his Holy Ghost second inspired sermon. Okay? So we're going to go back and look at the facts that Peter expressed a little closer. We'll take a little time to do this, starting right now, in Acts 3:12. And so we'll explain what happened here. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? That's a question. Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? That's another question. This healing of the lame man had caused great astonishment, a great wondering. And so it prompted Peter to answer the questions that the people who witnessed this miracle of healing may have been asking or pondering, either out loud or certainly in their heart. And we find here that they all knew this lame man that sat by the gate beautiful. He had always been there. He'd always been asking for alms. He was not able to walk. And this instant healing in the name of Jesus certainly was a puzzle to them, something they couldn't explain. But in order for them to listen to Peter and for Peter to answer their questioning and to silence the noise of all this commotion, because you can imagine how noisy that was, Peter asked these two questions here. Ye men of Israel. So who's he addressing? Those that were going into the temple, ye men of Israel. It wasn't a bunch of Gentiles there. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? So think about this, and we'll get to this next week. When somebody asks you a question, you better stop whatever it is you were doing and come up with a response. That's how he quieted the crowd, by asking the questions.